Hi, welcome to Info Dumpies. My name's Brianne. I'm autistic, I have ADHD, my pronouns are she, her, and right after this my planner tells me I need to get incredibly high, watch Parts Unknown, and eat a big shit ton of edamame. So, after this recording, I know exactly what I need to do. Today is a solo dump, and if you're a regular listener, you know what that is, and if you're just popping in because you read the title of the episode and thought, oh, okay, cool, that is an episode where it's just me. Usually, my lovely assistant slash wife, Violet, is here, and she does the episodes with me, but sometimes I do a solo dump to talk about something that pertains to ADHD and or autism, and I'm doing that today. And why would I do this? Because my job, you know, apart from what you're listening to right now, my job is being a coach and peer support specialist for other late recognized ADHD folks. So a lot of the times I do these solo dumps. So when people are my clients, I can send them here so they don't have to have me talk about this for an hour. They can just listen to this if they want, and then we can get on with working on their planning. So if you're one of my clients, howdy, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the link I sent you. So today we're going to talk about how to use a planner, which is not usually what my solo dumps are like. I don't think this feels like a slight divergence from the form, but I lately have had a few clients where we've talked about planning stuff, and I ended up walking them through how I organize my planner. Not to say that my way is the right way, but just to kind of show them that the way you were taught to use a planner in school is probably not effective for your ADHD brain. This is something I also hear from a lot of people who come to see me for coaching initially. Just a comment of, yeah, like a planner's gonna help. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, it won't make your ADHD go away, but also it will help. But also we have to use it a little differently. And I just like gently suggest a planner. Again, you're not going to suddenly be neurotypical. But if you've listened to my other solo dumps, you have heard me talk about how important it is to have a place to get the stuff that's rattling around in your head and a place to put it elsewhere. Because cognitive overwhelm is one of the big things that burns out autistic brains, and you can alleviate some of that by having just this storage space that you can come back to collect these thoughts, ideas, and things you're organizing. So you might think planners don't work for you, but please hear me out. They are a tool, and by the end of this episode, you might want to start using one yourself in addition to your other things. So folks who find me from podcasting tend to want to learn how I balance the plates I'm spinning. I'll kind of use what I do as an example and break down the steps I go through for an episode of Info Dumpies even to help myself stay on schedule. So for a lot of us, myself included, planners were something I was taught to use as a kid. It was a very basic planner. I was given one in elementary school. Everyone was given the same thing. Like the length and breadth of what we were given to do was just to write down our homework and write down deadlines for projects. But I wasn't taught about how do I pace myself for that homework? How do I make sure I get that project done before the deadline and, you know, before the night before the deadline? How do I pace myself? Most of us were not taught those things in school. We were just taught this is the deadline, get it done before then. Which obviously when you have disabilities that affect your executive function skills, your not just time management, but your experience of time itself, you have a brain that maybe makes more connections than other brains, that's simply not enough. And when it's a big task, you can't just write that down. So I can't just write info dumpies down and sit down and know what I need to work on. I'm going to stare at the screen and go, for like 20 minutes until I decide what thing I need to do next. So if you think planners aren't for you, please bear with me. I don't think of planners going to cure your ADHD, but I do think having a place to plan things that is outside of your own brain is critical when you are walking around with ADHD software. And also, ADHDers tend to do better when we have redundancies for our responsibilities and for reminders. And having a place where you're physically writing those things down can help you kind of lock that in a little better than just entering it into a calendar once. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of hesitance to use planners from the ADHD crowd is actually rooted in shame and black and white thinking. A lot of us are shamed for not being able to keep up with things, not being able to keep up with dates. We are shamed for, you know, not seeing we had something due before, you know, the night before. We're shamed for not checking stuff enough as kids. We're shamed for all kinds of things that were our disability, right? And then when you have that all or nothing slash black and white thinking with autism, sometimes we expect ourselves to adhere to using the planner 100% to complete 100% of what we write down for the day. Like it's a pass-fail thing, and that can be really stifling. And when you think of it as either I've done everything on here or I've failed, then you already have all this shame around your ability to do things that involve executive function skills. Those two things kind of join forces to make a planner a really scary thing. So if you take anything away from this episode, think of it as a shift in how you understand what a planner is for and what successfully using one looks like. The planner is not something that tells you what to do. The planner is a tool to help you accomplish the things you want. And just like a hammer isn't always the right tool for a job, that doesn't make it the hammer's fault or your fault that, you know, this job needed a table saw. It is what it is. So you're going to add the tool of a physical planner to your toolbox, and sometimes that's the tool for the job. So for me, a planner is just one of the things I use to keep my life in order. I think redundancies are key for me because if I mess up in one area, something else can help make sure I don't, you know, miss a meeting with a client. And with us, we don't have brains that habituate to tasks the way that neurotypicals do. So even if it's something you do all the time, I have redundancies in place. I'm going to walk you through how I set mine up each week. It's not the right way to do it. It's the current right way for me. And this isn't prescriptive. What works for me probably won't work for you 100%. My life is weird. I work from home and I have, you know, my little jobs that I do. So this is definitely not something that works for everybody. But my hope is that you can use this as a jumping off point to reframe how you plan your days and your time. So I've said in other solo dumps that having self-admin time to figure out your day and your week is really important for ADHDers. So this is me giving you a glimpse into what mine looks like. First, you may ask, what kind of planner do I need? And I'll tell you, you don't actually need one. Psych, it's a big joke. You don't need one. I actually recommend you just use a plain notebook until you figure out what works for you. For a long time, I used just a plain ruled notebook. I recommend starting out with something you already have or something really cheap like a composition notebook. ADHD has a tendency to think that buying something is going to fix an issue simply because we got dopamine from buying the thing. You can't possibly know what type of planner seems best for you if you don't experiment with different layouts in the first place. So rather than have yourself buy an expensive planner, don't like it, and then go searching for another one, just start with one of those cheapo beepo little black and white notebooks that make me think of Harriet the Spy. Or, you know, I like thrifting, looking for notebooks sometimes if I want one that's not cute, because I also have the flavor of autism that thinks some notebooks are too pretty to write ugly things in, so I simply won't do it. But using a cheap notebook at first is a really low stakes way of figuring out what works for you. And if a notebook sounds unappealing right off the bat, I recommend that you use an undated planner if you must get a planner. So my planner is undated. I write in the day of the week and the date myself. I like this better because realistically, you shouldn't be using this every single day. Like, I don't want to think about a planner on my birthday or on Christmas. Like, Violet and I are going to be going on a little cabin trip in April. That shit, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have my planner out and do shit in my planner while I'm on a little cabin trip with Violet. There's no need. I shouldn't. But if I had a calendar that already had the dates in it, my black and white, all or nothing thinking of autism would look at those missed dates and times, even if the majority of the time I was using it daily, and say, wow, really fucked up, didn't you? You didn't use the whole thing. But with my undated planner, I can come back from my trip with Violet and then just pick right back up where I left off. The whole planner gets used. My brain sees that I have filled out the whole thing and it is fine. So I won't do the notebook, I do need some sort of structure in place, I would just, you know, your search terms are undated planner. So before I get into how I do my admin time, I wanted to tell you some of the other things that I use in addition to a planner. And like I said, I'm moving away from apps, but some of them are just unavoidable, and some of the digital stuff automates things for me in a way that is really accommodating. So I'm not like 100% analog in how I do this, because I simply don't think I would be able to handle all of the stuff I do doing 100% analog. But think of this as things that might be supportive to what your life looks like in addition to the planner. So before I get into how I use my paper planner, I'm going to talk about redundancies. So I use Calendly for scheduling my coaching clients. It's great. I send them a link. They can go in and look at my schedule. I can block out days and times I don't want to see people. Like every Wednesday, I have time blocked out for me to see my therapist. I don't see clients on Mondays and Thursdays, so I can work on podcast stuff and get other shit done and do appointments. I can block off, you know, certain times if I want to take some time off. And my clients can use that without having to reach out to me to schedule. They can just, you know, they pay, they schedule, they handle that on their own. And then I get an email telling me that someone scheduled with me. I click a few buttons and their appointment is in my Google Calendar. And there's already a meeting link and everything. I have my Calendly give me 15 minutes before and after clients. So I end up with 30 minutes between appointments. And I also limit myself to 4 clients a day. So this gives me transition time between things, which is something I had a lot of problems with working a regular job. And the transition time I build into my schedule is a way I self-accommodate for my autism. And I'm in the process of de-Googling my life at the moment. This is what it is currently, but it might not be in the near future. I still use a digital calendar in addition to my Calendly. So my Calendly creates the event. I put that for now on a Google Calendar. Having stuff automated helps my ADHD so much. I don't clutter up my Google Calendar. I have appointments and things that affect me and my partners. Violet and James both work from home, so it's nice that they know when I have a client so they don't fucking make noise and come in my room and bother me. So I have a Google Calendar and I have it remind me 30 minutes before I have a client, and I share that calendar with my partners so we can kind of make sure we are moving respectfully about the house during the workday. I also keep a plain kind of shitty notebook around if I have a larger task that I'm working on and I need to break that task down into parts. I'm going to talk about that a little more later because, like I said, just writing down work on info dumpies, I'd sit in front of my computer and be like, do what? But at one point, I wrote down some really digestible chunks of work for info dumpies, and that is my workflow for that now, and I can put that in my calendar. If I'm trying to break down a task into parts and I need to make some ugly notes, I get an ugly notebook, because like I said, I won't do anything scribbly or ugly if the notebook is too cute. And this is where I dump my brain and organize my thoughts. I really recommend looking for notebooks and journals at thrift stores, because usually someone used a few pages, ripped them out, and there's a perfectly good junky notebook for you to dump your brain in and do stuff like this. So we're going to talk about my admin time, and I'm going to start with what I do every month, and then what I do every week, and then what I do every day. My monthly planning. I use an undated planner. Mine's from Papier, P-A-P-I-E-R. They make the same basic undated planner with a bunch of different art on it. I like mine that it's pretty. I'm more likely to use it because it's pretty. The planner isn't magic. I don't think Papier has anything, you know, particularly unique about it when it comes to undated planners. That's just where I chose to get one. So any undated planner that seems nice to you, you can look. But I knew someone would ask me specifically what kind I've used because I've had clients do that. So I'm telling you now. For those who are curious, if you go to the Papier website, they have pictures of what the insides look like. Every month, I fill in the month view for my calendar. So my planner has months at the very beginning, and you just fill in the days and what month it is and what year it is. And I do that at the beginning of every month. I don't update this all month. I do this once to get a good idea of what my month looks like, to help put me in the right frame of mind to understand, hey, I need to stop saying yes to things. There are too many things, or, ooh, you've got, you know, appointments for stressful stuff this week. Maybe make a note to take it easy. This is just to help me get a view of what my month is going to look like. It would be ridiculous for me to upkeep it because, like I said, my clients can schedule with me at any time of day, any time of night, anywhere in the world. And if I were going to go write that change down on the month view of my calendar every time, it would just be too much, but it's fine. But this gives me a good idea of what my month looks like at the very beginning so I can kind of look out over the next few weeks. I can see all of my podcast recordings. I can see how many streams I'm doing for Discord. I can see my social events. I can see how busy my weeks already look client-wise. And I like to choose one day a month just to take off from everything and do something artsy I can hyper-focus on. So this is usually when I choose that day. This is really a way to help me budget my energy better because it's both having chronic illness as a disabled person and being ADHD, my energy is a very limited resource. My battery does not go up to 100% in the first place. So making sure that I am giving myself plenty of time to recuperate is vital. So I feel like my month view really helps me look at my month and make better decisions. Then we're going to get into my weekly planning. As a preface for my weekly planning, one way that I make sure that I am taking care of the different aspects of my life that need constant work is for myself, I have identified what I like to call my spheres of responsibility. And these are, and I've made them spherical because these are things I will always have to keep the ball rolling on. You get it? Because it's round. So some of us are going to have more of these spheres than others. If you have kids, that's a sphere I don't have. If you have, you know, multiple jobs, that those are going to be multiple spheres for you to be responsible for. I like to limit how many things I have to work on because if I didn't stop myself, I would be working on 8 audio dramas at a time. And this understanding all of these balls I have to keep rolling as individual things I have to keep moving all of the time is, again, a way to help me visualize how much work I have on my plate and budget my energy better. So right now, when I am planning and doing my admin time, my spheres of responsibility are this. My coaching work, info dumpies, Murphy Bay Magic, Rampage Ministry, which is the audio drama that's not out yet, but we start recording next month, and that's on my planner now, but that's what that is. Murphy Bay Magic, Rampage Ministry, cleaning / housework, self-care, family time, and dogs. So, again, coaching work, info dumpies, Murphy Bay Magic, Rampage Ministry, cleaning / housework, self-care, family time, and dogs. And you might be saying, that's a lot. Yes, it is quite a bit. But also, autistic person, you don't have to spend an hour a day on everything to make a difference. Sometimes spending 10 or 15 minutes on some of these things is enough to keep the ball rolling. Because another thing I have to tell people a lot in my job is that you don't have to commit several hours to work on a thing. With my spheres of responsibility, I just have to keep the ball moving at least one time a week on some of these. A lot of these, it's daily. And it's not a huge chunk of time. And this is a lot. And if you're already having trouble taking care of yourself after work, if you're in autistic burnout, if I had to commute to work, this would be completely different. Like, your life situations really determine how many spheres of responsibility you can handle. And some people are going to have bigger spheres than others. So, like, if you're responsible for a human child, that's the biggest one you got to take care of every day. You know what I mean? So your spheres of responsibility are highly individual. Some of them are going to take a little more effort to keep rolling than others. But ultimately, I think looking at all of the things you have on your plate and having a visual of that is good for how our brains work. This is what it looks like as a self-employed person who has pro gamer level stats as far as planning. So these are things I have to keep moving each week. Some of them are daily, some of them are not. As long as I keep them moving, I'm doing all right. I break down larger things like podcast work into steps, like I said, so I will use info dumpies as an example here a little later. Okay, my weekly admin time. This is where my spheres go. So this is where I spend most of my time doing admin work. I've chosen to do this on Sunday evenings, but literally any day of the week or time of the day you think you're most likely to have it done is good. If a Wednesday at 2 p.m. is when you want to do your weekly reset, then God bless. Okay, I'm going to take you through how I do this weekly setup step by step. This is the most intensive part of my admin time. First, I fill out the date, day of the week for the next 7 days on my planner. Easy. Next, my planner is divided up into sections for each day. So there's a section for my schedule. So my schedule are things that have times and appointments. So my first step is I add anything from my Google Calendar to this section for the week on its respective days. This is stuff like client appointments, streams I'm doing for the Discord server, date nights with James and Violet, or other social things I'm doing during the week. These are all timed events that involve other people. These are things that I must do that affect other people. After I've gone through and added that to my schedule portion of my planner for each day of the week, next I go through my week and I write down the things I have to do. These are things that I have to get done, but they do not have other people involved. They are not assigned to a specific time of my week. They're not assigned to a specific time of my day. They're just stuff that I have to get done, and it's up to me to do it and decide when it gets done. Those things are ones where I like to front load my week to try to include the most stuff on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I have time to move stuff around that I don't finish to some later days in the week, if that makes sense. So my Mondays and Tuesdays look like I have a shitload to do, but by design, I know I'm not getting all of that done. So then I have Wednesday through Sunday to move whatever I don't get done on Mondays and Tuesdays and make sure it gets done by the end of the week. As far as things I have to do that don't rely on other people, I'll give you some examples. For me, these are things like the notes I make for my clients every week. I write notes for my clients who have sessions coming up in the week, and I send them out on Mondays because I just know that I would appreciate that in their shoes, and I make the notes anyway. I have my writing quotas each day, so that's shifted into working on Rampage Ministry more and working on another thing, but for a while my quotas were 1,200 words a day on Murphy Bay Magic and 500 words a day on Rampage Ministry. And that's all going to be shifting. Every day I have my editing responsibilities. It's not like I'm finishing an episode, not like it's a specific amount of time. I have a step or a chunk in my editing of info dumpies that I have to do. I will be doing the sound design for Rampage Ministry, so that will get added to this list and things will get shifted around. Apart from things related to work, I have some things that are in my have-to-do category that are part of my self-care, cleaning, and dog spheres of responsibility. So my weightlifting is something I have to do. My meditation is something I have to do. Practicing piano is something I have to do. That's in the self-care sphere. I start laundry 4 days a week. I move the dishes along every day at some point. I may unload them, I may load them, I may do both. I must pick some part of the process to keep the cycle of dishes moving. I have, you know, Moogie Walkies. Spring is coming up, so gardening will be entering the chat as one of my big responsibilities in my cleaning housework sphere of responsibility. So come spring, I will probably be out making sure we don't have any of our mushrooms we're growing in the garden ready to be picked, because I have to get those before the goddamn squirrels get to them. So these kind of shift and change with, quite literally, with the seasons, but these are things that I have to do. Things I must do, things that don't have other people involved. They're just things that I know for me to feel like I am my best self and that I'm keeping up with my life. These are things I gotta do. And as a side note, there is a section in my planner for priorities, and it has 3 bullet points. I really like this section. I label my priorities as the things that are most important to complete. If I get nothing else done but my appointments and those 3 tasks, I've won the day. Those are things I really do have to make sure I get done. So this past winter, my 3 priorities were usually the 1,200 words a day on Murphy Bay Magic and 500 words a day on Rampage Ministry and completing an editing step on Info Dumpies. Those are going to change. There are some days, like on the weekends, where my cleaning stuff becomes the priority and I might miss some of the writing stuff. I just shift their priorities as I need to. After I've written in my appointments, you know, things that have other people involved that I have to do, and then I've written down the things I have to do that don't have appointments, don't have slated times, they just need to get done this week. After I've gotten both categories of things I have to do put in my planner, then I do things I want to do. When you are ADHD, you may really want to do stuff like work on a sewing project, work on a painting, work on a drawing, etc. And to a neurotypical, it may not make sense, but I have to schedule time to do this stuff or else I'm just going to keep cleaning because there's like always stuff to do. And I have to deliberately tell myself that like, no. You remember, you like to crochet. You should set aside some time to do the thing you enjoy, remember? And having that as part of my week is something that helps me not burn myself out. So these are things I want to do. And if I, you know, set aside part of my day to work on sewing and I'm not feeling it, I can go, all right, well, I do have other things I enjoy doing. So it's not like I have to do this sewing right now, but at least I've made some time for it. So the things that I want to do will look like working on a fiber art project, work on writing projects that don't have deadlines that I don't have plans for, work on household projects that I want to complete, but I don't have to. Some self-care stuff that maybe takes a little longer, like dyeing my eyebrows, painting, baking, extra long piano practice, things that I would enjoy and would like to do, those go on the list. And I like to make sure I do these, not as things I have to do, but make sure I put them in my planner so my brain recognizes that they are important. This is my weekly admin time. It sounds like, from my explanation, that it takes a long time because I'm trying to give you a lot of context. It really doesn't. This takes me maybe 15 minutes to finish. Maybe. Before I had the planner, it maybe took me a little longer, maybe 20, 25, just because I kind of had to set up, okay, this is what I want to get done, this is how many clients I have, etc., etc. But all in all, if it takes you half an hour, that's quite a long time. I don't want to have to think about it that much. Understanding that each day I have moved my spheres of responsibility along, I go through and look at what I've done for the week and said, yep, taken care of everything I need to take care of. Here are the things that I need to keep moving. I'm done. So for me, that takes maybe 15 minutes. So my daily admin time. I don't do a hell of a lot daily to work on my planner. Stuff that helps me is putting my planner out and open to today, putting it someplace I'm going to see a lot. I also have a jar of pens right by it, and I keep it on top of my laptop should I need to reference my Calendly or Google Calendar for something. Having it someplace I can see it, you know, obviously me working from home means I can put it someplace I'm more likely to see it, and I don't have to really take it anywhere. But I have some clients who, you know, keep it in a bag that they put on the back of their desk at home and then they take to work when they go to work. Just whatever you're more likely to see and more likely to engage with, that's what I would recommend. So for me, it's open and on top of my laptop with pens right by it. At the beginning of the day, I look at it, I kind of decide what I need to do, and I do not expect myself to finish everything. At the end of the day, I look at what I got done for the day. I check off all the stuff I did get done. Seeing clients, my weightlifting, whatever I got done on my to-do list, all of it. I'm checking it all off, not because checking that off gives me dopamine the way it would for someone who does not have ADHD, but because the visual of seeing just how many checks there are on this page full of stuff helps, for me personally, my autism see, oh, okay, you didn't get everything done, but wow, you got quite a bit done. That's really nice. And I can actually appreciate the gray area of getting a lot done and not everything done a little better, I think, when I can visualize it. That's just been my experience. So I check off every blessed thing I get done. For those of you who are self-employed and for those of you who work from home, one thing I do is I stop doing work-related stuff after 4 p.m. and then other stuff like household stuff I try to cut off at 7 p.m. That way I can wind down for bed. I'm not in the middle of a project when I'm supposed to be getting ready for bed. It helps me calm my nervous system down before sleep. It helps me not overdo it. So that's kind of at 4 is when I look at my work stuff and see what I got finished and what I didn't. And then by 7, I can kind of get a good idea of what other cleaning stuff I maybe didn't get done. But I usually look at it like 7:15 and then I start getting ready for bed. It takes me like 5 minutes to take care of this. So when I'm looking at my planner at the end of the day, I move the things I didn't get done to later in the week. Either the next day, if the next day makes sense, you know, I might have 4 clients and I see my therapist and then I have date night with Violet after work. That's maybe not the day to say vacuum the living room, right? So if I'm moving things in my calendar and I already in my planner and I already see that I have a bunch of shit going on the next day, then I can go, okay, well, tomorrow doesn't work. Let's see if Thursday works. Let's see if Friday works. So at the end of the day, I move things I didn't get done to later in the week. And this is also a good time to evaluate how my energy is feeling too. So like the past couple of days, my endometriosis has been really bad. I've just moved a lot of my stuff I need to do to the weekend because I know I'm just not going to be feeling up to it the next few days. And it's not my fault. It's not poor planning. I've done very good planning, clearly. I can move that without shame. And like tonight, I'm going to be moving things and evaluating how I'm feeling and seeing if getting some stuff done tomorrow feels realistic. And like I said, all in all, I think the daily time I spend working on my admin time when it's not Sunday is like 5 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes. I'm just moving a few pieces around in my planner and that's it. Now, if there's a particular task you keep moving and you get to, you know, if I get to another Sunday and there's been something on my to-do list that I put on there last Sunday and it kept getting moved, this is where I stop and ask myself why I'm having trouble getting a task done. And hey, the answer is not there's something wrong with me and I'm bad at being an adult. The answer is I am multiply disabled. And if it's something I really intended to get done and it didn't make it to get done that week, it is a sign that my disabilities might be getting in the way of my ability to complete it. So if I have something I keep moving and not doing, this is my sign to approach that with curiosity as to why I'm not able to get it done, compassion for myself, and then I find a way to accommodate that task or get help with that task. A lot of the time, it really just involves me setting a time with my partner so they can help me emotionally regulate while I take care of something. Like with gardening, I had to pre-order some plants for the spring. We were trying to turn our front yard into a food-producing place. Work on that this season, and I got a couple of dwarf cherry trees and a dwarf currant bush, and I was ordering a few other things for the garden, and that had been on my list for a week, and then I got to the end of another week, and I was like, okay, well, it's still on my list. Why am I having trouble with this? And I was like, okay, well, I am worried that I might order something wrong, that I might read something wrong, that I might not think about some garden thing that I'm forgetting. I'm worried about not catching details. I'm also worried about not doing math correctly on something and for the size of our yard. Oh, I'm worried that my ADHD is going to miss an important detail in ordering. And I'm worried that my dyscalculia means that I will have thoroughly fucked up some sort of dimensions for a plant or something that I need to have in the yard and mixed up some numbers. So my solution to that was saying, hey, James. And I asked James because they do a lot of the gardening with me. I said, can you sit with me while I order these plants? And I already had the cart filled and I just explained what I was ordering and James asked me some questions about the plants and I was like, okay, no, I did do it right. Okay, thank you. And at the end of that, James is like, what did you need my help with? It's like, well, another brain to make sure I wasn't fucking something up. And that's exactly what they did. So instead of beating myself up about not ordering plants yet, I just asked James to sit there with me while I did it and walk through it with them, and that's all I needed. If you are experimenting with a planner and you keep moving a particular task, there is some reason, if you're making it, you know, week after week without getting it done, there's some reason you're not. And the answer is not that you're lazy. The answer is that you're disabled. And I bet if you practice, you can figure it out. Okay, so before I close out, I'm going to talk briefly about breaking down tasks, like I said I would, to kind of help you understand how me working on an info dumpies might look in my planner. There are so many little steps to putting out a podcast that if I just had info dumpies on a page every day, I wouldn't get a goddamn thing done because I'd have to decide what exactly I need to do for info dumpies. So at one point, I wrote down the steps in the process to getting an info dumpies from start to finish, and I go through that checklist with myself. So the podcast comes out on the 10th and 25th of each month. If I just wrote a notice on the 10th and 25th that an info dumpies should be coming out, I would never get these episodes done. So I have earlier deadlines and checkpoints set for myself to make sure that I'm getting on track and getting these things done before, you know, the day before it's due. I've broken down my work on info dumpies into 10 steps of, you know, working on the episode from start to finish. And I have these scheduled into my week every week. So let me go through these steps with you and you can get an idea of what kind of stuff I get put on my calendar when it comes to taking care of my info dumpies sphere of responsibility. So number one is schedule recording. Number two is notes and research for recording. Number three is record the episode. Number four is to put mine and Violet's audio into a single project. Number five is to clean up our audio tracks. And that's just for sound quality stuff. Number six is to edit 5 to 10 minute chunks of audio at a time, which is my preferred thing to do because 5 to 10 minutes of audio is actually quite a bit of work. And that keeps me from feeling like I have to sit there for 6 hours listening to myself talk. Okay, anyway, step six was edit 5 to 10 minutes of audio at a time. Step seven was finishing touches, adding the intro and outro. Eight is record the housekeeping section and add it to the episode. Number nine is schedule the episode to publish. And number 10 is to remind Violet to schedule the notes for the episode for a Patreon post. I'm just lather, rinse, repeating that thing for every single episode of Info Dumpies that comes out. That's it. So day to day in my schedule, I keep the Info Dumpies ball rolling. And today I was on step three, record episode for this episode. Earlier this weekend, I was in the write up notes for recording part. I started that on Sunday. I had the idea, but I scheduled this a week or so ago. I'm also working on other episodes in the editing part of this process. So I was editing a different episode not too long ago. So these are always moving, and these are the little kind of steps I put on my calendar rather than just writing info dumpies. So I'm usually doing one or two of these steps for an episode or more every day. this makes it so much less confusing to decide what I need to do, because I know if I go through steps 1 through 10 and, you know, edit 5 to 10 minutes of audio at a time, step 6, I just repeat that until the episode's done, I'm gonna get it done on time. And these things are scheduled leading up to my self-imposed deadline. So a few days before the episode is when I like to record the housekeeping section, so it's current for Patreon or other stuff we have going on. So I have a few days before the episode comes out is my final deadline to make sure I get the housekeeping section recorded and added and get all that done before it's due. And because I give myself a few days before it's actually due, should something go wrong, like a technical issue or something, which has happened before, I'm not completely fucked and going to be running late because I've given myself some wiggle room. But yeah, I know that was a lot about using a planner. I wanted to give you some core takeaways. The idea is not to have a system that looks like mine. The idea is to find what works for you. So, some core takeaways. The planner doesn't tell you what to do. The planner is a place you organize. It's a tool. It is not the right tool for every job, and it won't always be the most helpful tool, but it is one of the many tools in your toolbox. You are not meant to get everything done on your to-do list each day. You're just not. Having your work schedule with your to-do list can help you visualize how much time you actually have to get things done better. Spheres of responsibility. As a concept, can help you decide what to work on without hyper-focusing on one thing and dropping the ball in other areas. So there's always going to be cleaning to do. You always have stuff to fix. There isn't a single answer, right answer for what to start on. So making sure you're just keeping the ball rolling on all of the stuff you need to work on, that's enough. That's the whole point. Next core takeaway is have redundancies. You have ADHD. The planner is not enough. Whether that is a, you know, Google Calendar or comparable digital reminder, whether that is sharing that calendar with a partner or a platonic loved one. I have clients who do that too. Platonic friends who share calendars to help keep each other accountable. Have redundancies. You are disabled. It is not bad or bad adulthood or bad anything that you need to have redundancies. Set aside some admin time. It doesn't have to be a lot. In total, during my week, I spend maybe 45 minutes planning. And just because other people don't have to do this doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. You are, this again, you're, babe, you're disabled. You get to spend some extra admin time. Part of the definition of disability is that it affects your day-to-day life and how you get things done, and this is one of those ways. Don't overcomplicate it, but just try some different layouts in a notebook first. Please do not get too granular. There is not a perfect system, and like you've seen, mine is changing because life changes, my responsibilities change, and you should have something that is enough structure to help you get things done, but loose enough that it can change as life changes. And like for me with gardening, quite literally, as the seasons change. Also, when I say layouts in the notebook, this doesn't have to be a bullet journal. For me, it was just, here are my clients I have today. Here's the shit I have to do. Here's the shit I want to do. That was it. That was it. It wasn't even cute. Try writing yourself a few items on there that are your must-complete priority tasks each day. Personally, I think if you've gone over 3 of them, that's probably too much, but limit it. Have a limit for how many things you must get done each day. And then break down big tasks so you don't sit down to work on them and then have no clue what the fuck you should be doing. Like for me with podcasting. And like I said, the way that I do things might not be right for you. I work from home. My partners both work from home. I have several little jobs I need to take care of. Take what you like from this. Leave what you didn't like or found repellent. Just leave, not saying you need to do it. As you work on ways to organize your time, you can remember that you aren't the problem. You are disabled. It's not that you're bad at being an adult. And a lot of this just takes practice. So if there is an aspect of this episode that you thought, I might want to try that, that's the entire point. Experiment with it. And finally, when you have trouble accomplishing something you have needed to get done, approach it with curiosity and compassion. Figure out what you're missing and what would help you get that task done And it is okay if the answer is ask someone else for help because it doesn't seem like something you're able to do. That's fine. So I hope this has been helpful. I don't often like to plug my coaching work because I get uncomfortable asking you to purchase my services. But my link for my coaching website is in the show details. I am taking clients currently. My schedule is permitting some space on the reg. And if you would like some one-on-one help with this kind of stuff and figuring out what your spheres of responsibility are, what feels like too much to have during your week, maybe you have a really difficult specific task you need help breaking down, maybe you're a student and you need help figuring out how to break down your different projects for the semester, hit me up. There's a contact form on the site, and I will get back to you promptly, but not after 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, because like I said, that's when I stop doing work shit. Okay, and since this is a solo dump, I'm going to go ahead and take care of the housekeeping section. Before I get to thanking our Patreon supporters, I would like to make you aware of a mutual aid opportunity. Violet has designed some stickers that say, "Fuck ICE," and they are in our merch store, and 100% of those proceeds go to Community Aid Network Minnesota. She actually just made a donation from the stickers this weekend, and I will be posting the donation receipts on Instagram as soon as she gets those my way. But Minnesota is not doing well. Trump's Operation Metro Surge had thousands of our neighbors stolen from us. It has been chaos here. They've said they're pulling people out, but the only thing we're really seeing here in Minnesota is that they are getting sneakier. They're doing things like pretending to be a woman with car trouble. They're doing things with, like, having kids with them and asking you questions about your neighbors and using kids as props. It's bad. They're getting more insidious. They're getting sneakier. And there are a lot of folks in our community who have not been able to go to work, who have not been safe to go out and get groceries, who have missed so much work, who have lost jobs, who have medical bills because of the violence against protesters. And CanMN, Community Aid Network Minnesota, is a really well-established community mutual aid organization here in the area, and we are happy to give 100% of the profits from those stickers. So if you want to help out my neighbors, that is a great opportunity, and the link is in the show details. And now I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, like Harlene, Bethany, Laura Kramer, Lilith Rain, Janice Weston, Anarchista, Percy, Nanya B, Kate Michigoose, K Genius, Chibs 1012, Dave Perrell, Megan E, Carl Brooks, Natasha Neves, Gus Lutzi, Helen Clifford, Sewing Seraph, Rachel Rachelson, Fintago, and Randy Lovings. And you know how to help us out. If you want to support us, you can tell other people about the show. We don't take paid advertisements, and we don't pay for advertising. We grow entirely by word of mouth. So every opportunity you have to tell someone about Info Dumpies and to tell them to listen to it, please, please, please listen to it, that helps us out immensely, because word of mouth is how we grow. So if you post about it on social media, you tell your buddy at work, until your dentist, I don't know, tell someone. You tell people about the show, that helps us out a ton. If you want to help us out even more, you can leave a cute rating or review on your podcatcher of choice. The more activity we get in those respective podcatcher algorithms, the more we're going to get recommended to people who like things similar to Info Dumpies, who like things similar to what you like. And that action helps us look current, too, to people who are searching for podcasts because they see current activity. And that makes it seem a little more worth their while to go click on a show. So if you could leave a cute rating and a cute review, a cute comment, if your platform supports those, whatever you can do to get us more action in those algorithms helps us out a ton. Subscribing on your podcatcher of choice is a great way to do that without having to do a lot else. And if you're in a place to support us financially, you can find a link to the Mixnomer Patreon in our show details. Tiers start at just a dollar, and you can support everything we do. I mentioned the sci-fi show we're working on, and it's because of y'all. I was able to go purchase some very interesting bits and bobbles for doing Foley work for that. Violet is building me the control panel of a spaceship for doing Foley work, which is really exciting and not something I would fathom doing for an audio drama when we started doing today's Lucky Winner. The fact that we have enough support that I can do weird stuff like that, and Violet can do weird stuff like that, is amazing. So, you go support us on Patreon, that gets people new sound equipment, that gets us all kinds of things it takes to make shows like this. And if you would like to hang out with us, there is a link to our Discord server in the show details. We are currently working on solutions to what to do when Discord starts asking for ID, because we also think that sucks ass. So Discord is still going to be around. It's still going to be there, but we're also looking at other options. We will let you know as soon as we figure that out, because they're trying to make the internet a hellscape. So yeah, if you want to hang out with us, we are on Discord and you can come find us there. That's all I got for you this time, my friends. Until next time, clever sign off.